first item on the agenda should be, I believe, approving minutes. Any comments?
Some of.
Second.
Okay. The minutes are then approved, however, now I would like to propose that we consider an email which I received from Richard Freidenberger saying that there are some corrections he would like to add to his comments. Megan assures me that it's much easier to add these to this month's minutes rather than trying to amend the previous ones. So let me just quickly go through. Under air quality, the last sentence reports that Buncombe County is offering tax rebates. Well, it's not Buncombe County, it's a federal program offering federal tax credits. And
do you have an extra copy of that? I didn't.
You sent it just to me. I'll send it to you.
Oh,
if you would like. Okay, as far as the Blue Ridge paper situation, we say they have postponed it until September. He adds that the timetable was not specifically discussed. So there are small corrections like that that I will submit to Megan for inclusion of this month's minutes. Okay, our usual agenda is in front of you if you don't have the normal copy, but I'd like to change it today because of our guest, which is Ms. Sarah Zambon from the Attorney's Department, and so we don't want to keep her here any longer than we have to.
It's air conditioned.
Air conditioned, yeah.
It is. It's much better than being outside.
Let's put the issue of our bylaws. We've all received a copy in the mail if you check your email today. I sat down with Sarah after she made a number of changes. I went over it a little bit more. I'm pretty content with what you see here. I would just like to go through some things, give Sarah a chance to respond to any of your concerns, and make sure that everybody understands the details. I think I do, if there's any misinterpretation on my part, I'm sure she'll correct me. This has been revised to the extent of taking out most of the charter, which was duplicate of what was in the bylaws, putting it at the front. And this is now consistent with the form that is used through all the other committees, which the legal department oversees. So everything should be satisfactory from the administrative standpoint and the legal standpoint. So anybody brought their bylaws with them? Comments, or if you want to go through anything, speak up.
I just had a couple questions, and it's on number C, under five meetings. It says the special meetings are posted on the bulletin board in the Animal Service Center lobby.
I'm sorry, that's a typo. Did I didn't catch? What I do, I took the Animal Services bylaws because I have a standard form that I just put in the different information. That's all.
Well,
so where
are they posted?
Right now they're posted,
we don't really have special meetings, though.
In the instance where you would have special meetings, Megan will contact Terry Wilson, clerk to the Board of Commissioners, as it says in that first line there, and it would be posted consistent with all our other committees. I don't remember now, it seems like we just changed it where we don't have to post it in the courthouse, we just have to post it online. But I don't remember offhand, so that's why I put that first sentence there, that they will be consistent with the clerk to the Board of Commissioners posting.
Okay, so you could take out that other sentence.
Yes, I can take that out, the other sentence. I'm sorry about that.
If there's something more appropriate to put in there, then put it in.
No, it's mainly just that first sentence.
Because I thought, as the civil engineer, the courthouse would be fine.
Well, we don't really have one at the historic courthouse that we post meetings on necessarily. There is one at the regular courthouse, but the idea was that I think they changed it to make it so that you only have to do it online and post your sunshine list and that kind of stuff because nobody goes over there to, you know, check for meetings.
Yeah, well,
it's, you know, kind of an antiquated custom.
Just do it online, if nothing else. And then the other thing, I just don't know action by the committee. Number 9, it says you don't need a second to get promotions.
And that is what I've done with my other boards. If you would like, I mean, and to be fair, it says you don't have to have a second. You're more than welcome to have a second. I mean, it's not gonna become illegal if you have a second. It was just that some of the boards felt that they didn't need a second, or that because most of the votes were unanimous anyway, what was the point necessarily of having a second? If you would like a second, then that's fine. And again, this doesn't prohibit you from having from seconding it. So it's entirely up to you. This is just, again, I've done the bylaws for about 3 or 4 different boards now, and then I've done more privately outside of work. So this is for boards I'm on. So this is the kind of, this is the same stuff that is worked with other boards in the county.
So is it inconsistent with Robert's rules of order that you're supposed to be following?
The second is, but your bylaws would trump Robert's rules of order. And again,
well,
you're still allowed to have a second.
I like having a second.
Okay, I will change that then.
Well, no,
it's not
the
a big
others
deal
don't
either
care.
Way.
The only reason I would like a second is that, I mean, you may have to work. Maybe if there's no support for that first thing, why go on? And a second would at least have support.
Do you want, I'm confused as to, would you like me to leave in the second or take out the second?
I'll make an executive decision. We'll put the second in.
Okay, I'll just take out that last part of that sentence. Without the need for a second. That's where we'll stop. Including the chair, period.
Okay, anything else, manager?
Not
in the
bylaws.
Okay, Jim, do you have any comments, questions?
Our monthly meetings that we have, they're not covered by the session.
No, but there's an issue that we can talk about, which will allow us to deal with that without being in conflict. So I think I'll bring that up. I think they want to cross-section the community. They don't want anybody to be PhD chemists like us. I think that's the origin of it. Is that what you would say, Bob?
Yeah, and in your revised bylaws, it does say these members should reflect a diverse background and perspective of citizens of Henderson County and shall have an interest in and knowledge of environmental issues. And then I left in that section that talks about the different industries, but then at the end of that I put in and the general public. So it wouldn't be prohibitive from anybody who has an interest or other knowledge of environmental issues. So everything was covered.
Ron, anything? You're okay. Richard, any comments on the bylaws?
No.
Okay. I've got a bunch of little things here that I just want to go through, not because I disagree with them, because I just want to make sure that everybody understands them. The issue of terms of service. Terms shall be 2 years. Members may not serve for more than 2 consecutive terms. There are a whole slew of county boards and commissions. The requirements are all over the place. We're not being singled out as being one that has 2 years, 2 terms only. My gut feeling is that it would be nice maybe if sometime down the line we did send a recommendation to the commissioners to maybe add another term, because it takes a while to get up to speed, first of all, and then to acquire a knowledge of the issues, which don't go away in 6 months. They're not these little fires that we're putting out. These are issues that are going to be continuing. And just to have someone who say, hey, I remember 3-4 years ago, this is what was happening. You lose that when you turn over too frequently. So that would be my justification. But I don't think we should do anything right now.
I think it should be extended at least to 4-year terms.
To 4-year terms. That may be more than most other commissions have, but six is fairly common as 3 terms or 2 3s.
But,
or something.
As you said, about the first 2 years, you're just barely getting acclimated to what the heck's going on.
Right.
And then 2 more years and you're gone.
Yeah.
And it's a
I think that's a good point. I think we should act on that at some point, but this may not be quite the time to send something into the commissioners who are worried about their budgets.
But some of them don't have any time limits.
The
planning board just goes on and on and on.
That's a statutory one, isn't
it? Planning board is regulated by statute.
That's a difference.
Like the zoning board is regulated by statute.
Okay. Vacancies and reasons for dismissal. All members serve at the pleasure of the Board of Commissioners. Members may be dismissed for any reason without cause. Is that normal?
That is exactly what is in the bylaws for all the other ones.
There's always a cause.
Because we all serve at the pleasure of the Board of Commissioners.
So there's always a cause, though.
Not necessarily.
You may not like Richard Freudenberg is here, and they say, well, we want to get rid of him.
Yeah, but that's not, in terms, like, for cause or with cause has, like, a particular legal meaning. You know, like for reasons you can fire people and that kind of stuff. So his hair wouldn't be a reason for cause. You know what I mean? Like, globally it would be, but not legally. So this is more of a legal term of art kind of thing.
We had a big hassle with church about this kind of thing when somebody wanted to change it and decided it was un-American.
Okay.
Do we need to know anything about these NCGS 143-318.11?
All you need to know is you're not allowed to have secret meetings that are not open to the public unless you fall under the special reasons. And if you think you do fall under the special reasons, you can just contact me.
Okay.
And I can tell you if you could have a closed meeting, but it's very, very unlikely.
Okay.
So that's all that is.
Okay, good. Regularly scheduled meeting. A schedule of the regular schedule should be kept on file. How about saying the regular schedule should be kept on file?
That's fine.
Just a grammatical cleaner. You know, I'm picking it. That's me. Alrighty. We're taking out this animal services thing, which I had commented on. The vote under F, voting. Question. Are proxy votes allowed?
Not typically.
If someone
says,
like, I can't make the meeting, you know,
we have
discussed this, and we know we're going to have a vote, but I've got these, somewhere else.
It's consistent with open meetings law. I think it would be a legal problem with open meetings law.
Yeah, because you would have to, it's kind of like, yes.
Okay, answer that question.
I did that once before.
Yeah, we had that situation come up here. We knew what the vote would
be.
So I'm going to be
here. I vote this way.
Yeah, so
it didn't work.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it passed, I think.
No, it didn't.
Oh, it didn't? No.
Question about the sunshine list.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something we could have access to?
Yeah,
when
public record.
When I send out the minutes every month, all of those members' email addresses that are on the list, which is more than just this group, are people that have requested to be on the Sunshine
okay,
List.
Okay, just in case we wanted to contact them and we thought they may have some interest or something.
Well, it's just the general list of people that have just
right.
asked to be on
yeah, but some of them may,
the minutes and agenda.
Sure, some of them may have information, be interested in because they have information, which we might be interested in.
Can they contact them directly? Or is that something
the
that
Sunshine List is a public record.
Right.
If you request a public record, the county has to give it to you. The county is not responsible for what people do with the public record. However, I wouldn't suggest that you contact them if they say something you don't like in the press.
Oh, no, it's just a question to say, hey, I see your name on this list. Do you know anything about this particular issue that we're dealing with?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of, just general people who are on the
yeah.
Sunshine List.
Right.
Not one specific to environmental issues. So, I wouldn't put a lot of hope into that, but it is a public record, and you are all welcome to it.
Yeah, most of the people on there, the Times News and the Citizen Times, newspaper people that just want to keep up with what's going on.
Everybody understands that. We're dealing with, when we talk about elections, the calendar year, okay, even though other things happen on a fiscal year basis. Subcommittees. Subcommittees shall be formed based on the discretion of the committee or at the direction of the Board of Commissioners. This is a means by which we can continue to meet in small groups at months other than our regularly scheduled meetings, which are supposed to be quarterly. So it seems to me this is a good alternative. It might allow us to use our time more effectively to do some planning as to what to do at our regular meetings and have our, all our ducks in a row when we come to a meeting, which is going to be a public meeting. So I would recommend that we talk about this later in our meeting today, is whether we want to come up with a couple of subcommittees, which can be at times other than our regularly scheduled.
Referring then that we would not meet every month, then
Well, that's apparently what's coming from the legal department is that we are not just being asked, but pretty much being told not to meet quarterly. Is that correct?
It is being strongly recommended that you meet quarterly. The idea of the subcommittees is kind of a compromise between you're having a monthly meeting and a quarterly meeting. We don't have the resources to staff meetings beyond quarterly. But the other issue, the reason I brought up subcommittees from working with other boards and everything, is that you are all very, very busy people. You have other commitments, and the idea is that if you broke up into subcommittees on issues you wanted to work on in groups of three or whatever, then you wouldn't have to, you'll have more time, like a set time to develop those ideas so that your general meetings with everyone would be more productive, depending on what work this committee takes on or wants to take on.
And the other issue there is, you know, we need to be concerned about an image of being an efficient, productive committee. Anything which would increase that image, I think, is not in our best interest. We come together, and every month we're going through this, you know, the same thing, and we don't know what anybody is going to say about it. It's a little different than an agenda being put together with an intent of a subcommittee giving a more detailed report and bringing it back to discussion. That's just my take.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do any official business of them, but they should still be somewhere that would be open to the public.
But they'd have to be announced.
Official business would be, yes, they would have to be announced or on the website or Megan, and Megan can handle most of that. Official business requires a quorum. So if you broke into subcommittee, so you shouldn't have any subcommittee that's more people than what a quorum of this board would be. So that's why I would suggest groups of three or so. You have three subcommittees to start with three members and then report it back to the general board where you could do official business because you would have a quorum, hopefully.
If the subcommittee consists of three, could more people from the three attend the subcommittee meeting? Or is it restricted only to those three?
No, it's not restricted. Again, it would be a public meeting, but so anybody could come. But my caution to you would be that you shouldn't all start going, because then it would just be a general meeting. The whole idea of the subcommittees would be done.
Right.
And
I don't think we look at it as an evasive tactic, but you know, suppose Ron wants to come to a subcommittee on, you know, stormwater and water quality issues.
And I think any of the members, just like any of the public, can attend the subcommittee meetings. But I would suggest that, you know, that each subcommittee has a chair who would report back to the board, and that while the committee can decide, you know, while there can be comments from the public or other members of the board, that the committee would be responsible for, you know, what direction they want to take to present to this board. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a water quality committee, anybody can make comments or suggestions or whatever, but that committee should decide what direction they want to go with water quality and then bring it to this general board for official action. Does that make sense? Kind of?
Sarah, just three of them get together just because they have an interest and they want to discuss a particular topic and it's not important to the board, that's not an official meeting. But if this committee, a larger committee, appoints a subcommittee or the chair appoints a subcommittee, then that's an official committee and have the subcommittee meetings.
Right, like if you all just get together to get coffee and talk about, you know, something environmental,
you can talk
Greenpeace.
About official business. I mean, you can even talk about business.
Right,
because
they couldn't do any
business,
official
not,
things.
Yeah.
Okay, so having an official subcommittee sort of locks us into some constraints that we wouldn't have if we did things informally.
Yes, but I'm not recommending you do things informally as a general rule. And I don't think, I mean, I don't know what you guys do in here. I've never been to these, I know from your bylaws and stuff, but are you doing a lot of things that you would like to keep secret from the public?
No, not a secret.
Okay.
We hid the fear.
Yeah. One of the issues is that, you know, we've got several items mm-hmm. that we're looking for. It's not like the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, which is on solid waste. And things pop up at irregular intervals in one or another of these areas, so something is liable to come up on a monthly basis in one way or another that we might want to know about. Are they urgent enough to need to know about it on a monthly as opposed to quarterly basis? That's another issue that we came up with today. So that was the reason we wanted to stick with the monthly meeting and just take the burden off of the staff as far as the minutes and kind of support.
So are the facilities here closed to us except for the quarterly meeting, or are they available to us?
You would have to talk to Kathy Scanlon in planning. I believe, are you talking about for subcommittees?
Yes.
If there's room on the schedule, I think Anthony would
just
follow.
This room is available to any Gordon County use policy. This room is available to any body that is open to the public. So any subcommittees provided is during business hours. So and provided their schedule.
Yeah.
Now, if we get to a point where there's a whole bunch of things, the schedule starts getting cramped, I might have to make some decisions about who's meeting here because we don't have enough time for everybody. But at this point, I don't think it's
And in an instance where this room is, where we run into that problem, where there's too many organizations meeting here, there is like the community room in the historic courthouse, which may also be available for meetings.
And if it's during business hours, we've got a conference room upstairs in the planning department. That's also available.
There's one like in building inspections.
Yeah,
and there's.
Right.
Yeah,
so we've got a couple other
time.
Smaller rooms
yeah.
that could potentially accommodate engineering business hours if that became an issue.
Well, I think this is something we can consider later today. Let's finish up this. The annual report, something that we haven't done in my time here, in your time also, Ron, apparently has required the 6-month issue, which came up in the old bylaws, is irrelevant. To file apparently an annual report. And I personally think it's a good idea because, again, committees like us, especially in the environmental area with our current board, they're going to be under the scrutiny and sure we're doing something worthwhile. So, the possibility of eliminating us is always okay. And I think this would be a good idea to enthusiastically embrace the idea of an annual report, justify our existence. Doesn't have to be a 10-page document, you know. Just
how would you file that? Or would you file that on their schedule or your schedule? Because
it's July
you
1st,
go from July from January to January, and they go from July to July.
Well, it says the report must be submitted no later than July 1st of each year.
Well, now, when you start in January.
Well, that's something we can ask clarification.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the July 1 is when all the boards typically submit their annual reports.
Okay.
First of all.
Because that's the commissioner's schedule.
That's
July
the commissioner's
July.
Schedule.
Yeah.
And that was, I believe, in your original bylaws, was the same date. Again, this is a very simple, and just because you have elections in January doesn't A, mean that people's terms are up in January, because I believe you're all staggered.
Yeah.
And the only office you're really electing is the vice chair. So the January thing is not going to affect your annual report or the business that you're going to be able to do.
Okay, so what?
So I would suggest keeping it July 1.
July 1?
I would suggest keeping it July 1 to keep it consistent with the other boards, and because that was what was in your original bylaws that were approved by the commissioners.
Okay.
And it's not going to be an extra burden for you all. A, it's not a long report, and B, the January issue doesn't really apply because it's just for the election of one office.
Action by the committee, quorum. This has now been straightened out so that it makes sense. Let me just make a statement here and make sure that the legal people agree with it. A quorum only has to do with the ability to conduct official business. It does not affect a vote. Is that correct?
A vote is official business.
Well, the ability to conduct official business.
You can't vote if you don't have quorum.
But if we started out with 6 people and 2 people left the meeting and we had a vote after that, what is this? Can we now vote? We had the quorum, it's been established.
Once, yes, the way it is drafted now, once you have a quorum,
yeah.
Quorum can't be defeated for the rest of the
right.
meeting.
So that
Once you have a quorum, I'm not as worried about if people leave. Because first of all, your meetings typically aren't that long. And second of all, you're not just dealing with quasi-judicial proceedings. Quasi-judicial proceedings are a whole different thing where you really need those people there.
Right, that was
but this is just so that once, you know, once quorum is met, it can't be defeated for the rest of the meeting. Now, I'm not saying that you should come to the meeting for the first 5 minutes to make sure there's quorum and then leave. But I would assume none of you would do that because otherwise you wouldn't be on this committee.
Sarah, legally, it seems like I read somewhere in the statute that once if a person leaves the meeting, they're considered as an affirmative vote for
yes.
their actions of the committee.
Yes.
So
once quorum is met, if you leave, that would be considered an abstention, and an abstention is considered an affirmative vote, which is in the abstention part is in your bylaws.
Okay. So that's basically what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be afraid.
No, you were exactly right.
Okay, on the motions, without the need for a second, we took care of that already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the next sentence means. Motion shall be adopted if approved by the affirmative vote of the majority of members present and not excused. Members present and not excused, comma, after, that would be better. Okay, now I understand it.
You want a comma after not excused?
It slows my thought to it, but I don't put the excused after full discussion.
No, that is just to...
Okay.
Exclude members who have been excluded
excused
for if they had a financial interest in whatever you're talking about or a familial interest.
Okay. Conflict of interest.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, good. Now I'm clear on everything. Everybody else is? Okay. So do we have any other issues that we want to deal with? As far as the quarterly issue, recommending that we just take it as it is and then submit a request for something different or an extension of the terms.
Are you talking about on the term issue?
Both, actually. Anything
yeah.
we want to modify at this point? Is it best just to say, okay, accept it as it is, and then later on if we want to talk about subcommittees or if we want to request an extension of the number of terms, submit them later, or does that have to be hashed out now?
This would be my recommendation to you, and Anthony might have some insight on this also. My recommendation to you would be that you move to quarterly meetings and then do these subcommittees so that your meetings will be more productive and so that you as a committee understand that the constraints the county is on regarding budget and resources and are willing to cooperate and help us with that. Because, again, we can't really staff these meetings more than quarterly. My recommendation would be for you to accept the quarter, to move forward with how it's written in terms of having quarterly meetings and then subcommittees. Because I really do think that besides the issue of resources, I really do think the subcommittee issue will help you get more in-depth into certain issues. Instead of trying to cover all these issues in one meeting, it will be more concise and individual subcommittees will be able to go more in-depth and pick a direction instead of just an update. And on the term...
I think that's a good point. I mean, an awful lot of what we do is updates and not a lot of action coming out of it. I think maybe we'd be more productive in terms of action if we operate in this way.
And just to come up with some ideas for what you all want to do, and then you can bring those ideas to the Board of Commissioners. On the term issue, I would leave the terms as they are right now and then come back, because... These bylaws, as they are written now, A, they're in the same format as the county, and B, in terms of most of the stuff, except for the quarterly meeting issue, they're consistent with your existing bylaws. It's mainly just addition of procedural stuff.
No, it's a lot clearer than the old ones.
Well, but it's in, you know, it's how you vote and what quorum is and, you know, all that stuff, but the substance of your committee is the same. And so I would suggest that it would be easier... to get these bylaws passed, and then you'll have all the procedure and all the stuff that you're missing, and everything will be clarified, and then later go back when things have calmed down at the county with the budget and everything else that's going on, and then talk to the commissioners about the term issue once you decide where you want to go with it.
Right, so
that would be my recommendation.
An issue here is that just because we say it's okay with us doesn't mean the commissioners are going to approve it.
What would happen if you vote on these and approve these bylaws with the changes we've suggested? What I then do is write a board action form saying that this committee would like to change their bylaws. These are the substantive changes. The commissioners don't really care about minor procedural stuff that is consistent with all the other boards necessarily. And then I put this on the agenda, usually on the consent agenda, and then the commissioners approve it or bring it up for discussion or, you know, and then decide how they would want to move forward. But I can't put this on the commissioners' agenda until you all recommend it. And then the commissioners will approve it or disapprove it based on there.
So the committee would vote to recommend the changes.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
What the action would be.
Yes.
Why aren't these just all automatically sent to the charter?
Because not all boards are the same, and I like to go through them with each board. Like the zoning board of adjustment for their general stuff, and now most of their stuff is quasi-judicial proceedings, but they didn't want a second. The chairman of that board specifically wrote in a provision saying he didn't want a second because all their votes were unanimous for the most part, and they're a five-member board. That's the other thing. They're a five-member board, so, like, if you don't get support, you don't get support. You know what I mean? Like, having a second, and all their votes have to be a certain number. The Recreation Advisory Board is slightly different than this because they hear different issues. And have different things. Like, they wanted in their minute, in their bylaws, a list of all the sections of their agenda. It says, you know, these are these sections of our agenda. I don't recommend that.
Something like this?
Even more detailed than this. It says approval of the minutes, like, you know, old business, new, like, general stuff, mind you, that doesn't need to be in the bylaws, but they wanted it. And so that's why the bylaws are different, because different boards have different missions and different ways they like to operate and different individuals. And I don't have a problem with that as long as it's all legal. So I'm happy to do it, but that's why it's not just boilerplate. Much like every board has different terms and different term limits. We don't have a consistent thing with our boards and committees. I am. The more boards I come in contact with, the closer it gets.
Any other comments?
Do all the boards need on a quarterly basis?
No, it depends on the board.
Okay.